morning, I come in and whole side of the metal building in between the one of the garage doors and the walk-in door was completely ripped away. One of the roll-up doors, the bottom of it completely caved in.
Experts discuss bear safety as bear problems get closer to town. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The water line that delivers most of the Haynes water is getting replaced. After a series of increasingly frequent failures, Brad Maynard is the borough's facilities director.
Well, it is our main water line, from the Lily Lake water source, which is, 80 to 90% of the water that's used in town. And I think when we had originally looked at replacing that line last spring, it was because last year we had a leak last year. That was probably around April, and they'd also had two previous leaks prior to that. And what's kind of ironic is this spring, in the last month, we've repaired three leaks on the line. And when I was up there actually yesterday afternoon, I noticed that there's another leak in the line that's bubbling water up through the roadway. And so I think it's a pretty significant project that we need to get out of the way.
The last complete replacement occurred in the mid-1970s, and at least three replacements predate that. Work crews are beginning to dig the line in this week.
And they've actually have gotten all of the piping fused together in 500 to 800-foot lengths, and they've stretched it up the Lily Lake Road, and now they're in the middle of actually bolting the flange connections together to make it single line all the way up the road. And so what they're doing is they're preparing the pipe on the surface and tying it all together. And once they're done doing that, then they'll go up and they'll begin digging the line in, trenching and digging and burying the line.
The plan is to upsize the line to allow the borough to, in the future, pull more water out of Lily Lake if the town's water needs increase. Taking more water later would also require more filters and upgrades to the water plant. Southeast Road Builders is doing the work on the line, which may keep Lily Lake Road closed through mid-September. Money from the Environmental Protection Agency and other grants is paying for the just-in-time replacement, says Maynard.
You know, typically right now what we're seeing is pitting corrosion in the line that is probably losing, we could be losing up to 750 to 1,000 gallons, a minute through a leak that's way down on the lower end of the line. I don't think we'd ever see a catastrophic failure with the existing line where all of a sudden it busts loose and we drain Lily Lake down the road. But, looking at four leaks within the last month in a very narrow window, that pipe could easily be compromised and, spew out, a couple thousand gallons a minute, if it broke loose in several places.
Maynard advises people to stay off Lily Lake Road while construction is in progress.
When those guys are working on burying that line, and people, if they do go up the road, they have to realize that the equipment operators and the people on that pipeline job are concentrating on their work, and they have to understand that they can't walk up behind the piece of equipment or start getting close to them because, it is a situation that I'm really encouraging people just to stay off of the road.
Residents should not expect any changes to their water during or after the construction. Similarly, water customers shouldn't have to conserve water more than usual while the line is being replaced. A group in Haynes is working to make living in bear country safer for both humans and bears. A panel that included representatives from Fish and Game, the Haynes Police Department, state troopers, state parks, Haynes Sanitation, and a local bear organization met earlier this week at a bear summit that discussed laws, equipment, and public education that could help minimize negative bear-human interactions in urban areas. An increasing amount of bear problems as serious as home break-ins and trash container destruction over the summer led to scheduling the meeting. Ryan Scott with the Department of Fish and Game's Wildlife Division is concerned with bear-human encounters throughout Southeast Alaska.
Bottom line is, if you're going to live in Southeast Alaska, be it Haynes, be it Juneau, be it Sitka, Cake, any of those communities, you have to think about bears. In lots of these places, you're just as apt to bump into a bear on a side street or even Main Street as you are out in the woods. Sometimes you're more apt to bump into a bear on Main Street.
The group considered proposing a bear trash ordinance using Juneau's bear law as a template. Scott, who is based in Juneau, thinks their ordinance regarding proper trash disposal has had a positive impact. He says 80% of his calls about bear problems have been garbage related.
You know, it's been in place since 2002, I believe. A couple things that come up almost immediately: A, it's got to be enforced. B, what we're finding the last couple of years is the items that the ordinance calls for, bear-proof or bear-resistant, I don't want to use the wrong word, bear-proof, bear-resistant garbage cans have to be maintained. But there's always a certain segment of the population you're never going to convince to do something, you know, to change what's going on. But overall, by and large, the majority of our folks in June, I think, are happy about the ordinance. I think it's very effective. It is a tool, though. Like Chief Lowe said, it's just one more thing to use and work with to try to kind of settle this relationship down between people in bears and urban environments.
Scott says to first think about attractants, saying simply minimizing the attractants will minimize bear encounters, since bears are usually not interested in humans.
We all have to take some responsibility, and we also have to recognize that bears are here. We're never going to get rid of them. We've got to manage the attractants. Okay? That's going to take care of 99.9% of, you know, issues or concerns that we have.
Richard Crosby, who participated in Monday's meeting, is operations manager of Haines Sanitation.
I've almost gotten rid of them out of the dump now with the processing of the trash and getting rid of what was never processed. And the only way is either with these bear-proof dumpsters, which I will put steel lids on them and bring them to you, and or some kind of bear-proof can or a bin to put your cans in out by the road. Taking your trash out the day of pickup instead of the night before is a real good way. Wherever you keep it, they're going to break in, they're going to tear it up. That's just what they do. Yeah, those pickups and those vans that they're storing all this in, the doors are ripped, the toppers are tore. I mean, like I said, you're not going to keep the bear out. It's 1,500 pounds of muscle. He's going to get in, he's going to tear it up.
Then, on Thursday morning, Crosby arrived to work at Haines Sanitation and found some disturbing evidence of overnight bear activity.
Yeah, this morning I come in and the whole side of the metal building in between one of the garage doors and the walk-in door was completely ripped away. One of the roll-up doors, the bottom of it, completely caved in. It's because I'm having to store trash. It's contaminated trash. Somebody put 30 gallons of oil in their dumpster, and so now all that trash is contaminated. It has to be incinerated, so I'm storing it to move it to Skagway to incinerate, and that's what he's after. And anytime you keep trash around, even at your home, in your garage, or in the back of a pickup truck trailer, the bear is going to tear into it. This is a heavy-duty steel building with heavy-duty steel doors, and he's just coming through with no problem whatsoever.
The smashed paneling was about 20 feet wide and 35 feet high, and it'll require replacement of 5 to 8 pieces of metal siding.
I'm going to try to get it together as best I can. They made a small tear yesterday. I welded a piece of 316 steel up in place of that, so when he couldn't get through there, he just shredded all the way on down and then worked on the door.
Crosby's working with a group to possibly bring more bear-resistant containers to the Haynesboro. Clukwan and Skagway already have bear-proof containers in public places. And Chilkoot Bear Foundation recently placed several bear-resistant containers around Haines, too. Speaking for the group was Pam Randles.
The ones in Whitehorse, the bear-proof,
yeah.
The Bear Foundation bought, too, and we would like to get more for hot spots in town. They are pricey. They are pricey. They need to be cemented down. They have a latch. They certainly work.
Yeah, that's more the commercial grade, though.
Right. And when we were thinking of public placement for those, in places where the public needs to put things that, you know, they just finished their soda or whatever it is, you know.
For discussion's sake, the group proposed the question, why can't we just put bears somewhere else? Ryan Scott answered.
That's the main reason it doesn't work, you know. And Haines is a textbook example of that. Back in 1999, I believe, and shut down the open face landfill. So Fish and Game, again, before my time, came to Haines. We trapped bears up at the landfill, and we relocated them. I believe we moved 10 bears, right around 10 bears. All of those bears, short of maybe one, possibly two, are dead at this point. Some of them came back right away. Other ones showed up in other places and got right back into the swing of things. But the ones that are fairly impressive are the ones that came back. You know, we not only, you've got to put them a long ways away, and you got to put a lot of water between them and the food source. Some of those bears went down to the Burns Bay area and they came back.
The ordinance that the group might propose to the assembly for discussion could ensure that people with bear problems address them. For example, people who own fruit trees that are frequented by bears. Shannon Donahue is the bear monitor with State Parks at the Chilkoot River.
I would just like to encourage people, you know, if you do have fruit trees, to get out and pick the fruit as soon as it becomes ripe. Pick up anything that falls on the ground. You know, you might not even need to get the electric fence if you're willing and able to, you know, to clean up your trees as the fruit gets ripe.
State Parks added that the department is enforcing dog leash laws and parking rules along the Chilkoot River following recent incidents. Preston Cruz is with Parks also.
For the most part, we get a lot of good comments. As Shannon was saying, we do get a few negative comments thrown right in our faces about why we're there and we shouldn't be there. But overall, we're really happy with the way things are going. We're trying to constantly improve on our signage and kind of tweaking how we're doing things out there. But there isn't a whole lot of options since it is such a narrow road, and that road is just immediately adjacent to the river. It is hard to control because there hasn't been any sort of regulations or management out there for so many years.
More information and assistance regarding bear-human interaction is at the Department of Fish and Game in Juneau. The toll-free number there is 1-866-302-4263. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Thanks for tuning in.